Okay, this morning, we're going to talk about faith this morning. Turn with me, please, to the book of Romans. We're going to start there. The Apostle Paul, this is it. Actually, it's very, very interesting. When I say that, you know, to me, everything in the Bible is interesting because it's God's book. It's alive. And even though the last one was penned 2,000 years ago, it's still alive today. And every time we read the Bible, every time we get into it to study the Word of God, there's always something new. Okay, there's always something new. Are we going to have junior church?
Yeah.
Okay. We have little ones that need to go? Okay. All right. There we go. Awesome. Where was I? Oh. Anyway, when we said there's always something. Always get something new. And that's why the Bible tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God. That's why we should always be in God's Word. That should be part of our lives, and we should let God's Word get into us. But here's an interesting thing. Paul is writing a letter. We call it an epistle. It's called the Book of Romans. And he's writing it to those that are, to the Christians that are in Rome. And you say, Brother Whiteside, why is that interesting? Well, this was an interesting time in history. Rome ruled the known world at that time. Okay, the whole Mediterranean area, they were the rulers. They were the standards. They had the standards for government, the standards for economics. They were the standard for religion. As a matter of fact, they were very religious people. They had all sorts of gods that they worshiped. And they would allow you to worship any god that you wanted to worship as long as you worshiped some of their gods too. And that's why they had a problem with Christians, is because Christians wouldn't worship any gods except for Jehovah God. The Jews wouldn't worship any god except for Jehovah God, the ones that were right with him. And so the Roman people were really against Christians. You can read a lot about that if you get a book called Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you begin reading that, because he's accounted some of the things that have taken place during this time. There were a lot of persecutions. A lot of the Caesars persecuted Christians. And so it was not an accepted religion. As a matter of fact, the Christians that were there, many of them had to meet in the catacombs, in the tombs, underground, because to meet outside, they could be arrested, and they could be tortured, and they could be put to death. And so it's quite interesting that he is writing a letter to believers that are in Rome, and he even mentions those that are in the house of Caesar himself. And that tells me something. That tells me that in the worst of times, those that will turn to Jesus Christ will prosper. Their spiritual life, even in the worst of times. And so here's what he says. Paul starts off and he says, in verse number 8, he says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." And then when he goes on down to verse number 14, he says, "I am a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise, so as in me I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And so as he's writing this letter and he's writing it to those believers, he's saying, I'm rejoicing that I can hear that you're still living for God. And I'm just praying for you, and I'm ready to come and preach to you, and we're all going to live by faith. We're all going to live by faith. Now that passage of scripture that's mentioned is in Habakkuk 2. And it says the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk has some questions. And we just studied Habakkuk Wednesday on this, and Habakkuk had some questions for God. And one of the questions was, why do the evil people prosper and they're not judged right away? He says, I guess, you know, the judgment's gone. Righteousness is no longer in effect. The law isn't in effect. And he was a little bit discouraged. And God's response to him was, don't worry, Habakkuk. They haven't got away with it. And then he goes on to say, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Let's turn to another passage of Scripture that talks about it. Let's turn to Hebrews. And we're going to do the Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And this is actually called the chapter of faith because it talks about all the different people that have lived by faith. But notice it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So he first starts off, and again, Paul is writing this, and he says, this is what faith is. It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. In other words, we hope for God. We have a hope in God, and there's always evidence there because God always answers His prayer. God always answers our prayers one way or the other. When God makes a promise, He always keeps the promise. We can go through the Old Testament and see some of the promises that are there. I have a book that's entitled "The Promises of the Bible." It's an entire book, and I think several hundred pages. And it's just page after page after page stating a promise that was made in the Bible and how God kept that promise. I mean, they're all there. God always keeps His promise. And that's part of our faith, is recognizing that He does that. And then he goes on to say this, "For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And then he goes on from that chapter and he lists all the different people and the things that they did, and they did by faith. But notice what he says here. It says that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So it's very important that we understand how important faith is. What is it? What's the definition of faith? Well, some says it's believing. Some say it's trusting. Some say it's resting. It's hoping. Okay, those are good definitions of faith. And something that we have to have. There's different kinds of faith. For instance, there's some great faith we find in Matthew. There's weak faith. There's strong faith. There's little faith. And then there's no faith. How can we treat faith? Well, I listed four things that we can do. We can turn from it. We can lose it. We can ask God to increase it. And we can be full of it. Those are some of the things we can do with faith. There's different type of faith. There's doctrinal faith. We feed in the book of Jude. It's the content of what we believe. There's saving faith. That's trusting Christ alone for salvation. There's justifying faith. It's God declares us righteous. In the book of Genesis, we see that. There's indwelling faith, where we're trusting God's word to be truth. There's daily faith, where every day we have to depend upon the Lord. I'm going to stop there for a moment. Do you realize that every day we have to depend upon God? Think about this. Just you getting up this morning, you had to depend upon God. Now, you didn't wake up and say, okay, God, you know, get me out of bed. I got to get up. You didn't do that. But if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be able to. Can you say amen? You wouldn't be able to. Okay? Everything that you do, you go to work, you have to trust God. You have to have faith in God that He'll get you there safely and get you back. Now, you probably don't get in your car and say, okay, God, now I hope I get to work on time. I hope I get there. Get me there. You may not do that, but you have to have that little bit of faith in that God is there and He's going to take care of you. And I don't know what I've seen in the last few weeks. Sometimes I do pray that, Lord, keep me safe while I'm on the road. We actually saw one on the way to church this morning right over here off of 26th Street, I think it is. Somebody pulled out, and there was a head-on, and both cars demolished. We didn't see any ambulances there, so it may have just happened. But the CHP was there, and the fire truck was there, and the ambulance was probably going to be on its way. But you know, there was an accident. But everything we do on a day-to-day basis, we have to trust God for. That's faith. That's faith. And so, those are some of the things. Now, I mentioned before, you know, what is faith? Faith is believing God, trusting God, taking God at His word. That's one reason why we study the Bible. Now, some people, I have to say it, some Christians, the Bible just gathers dust. About the only time you get it off is when you come to church and you dust it off to get it off to church, make sure that it looks good, and that's about the only time we see it. It should be something that we read every day. And there's no excuse. There's no excuse. There's Bibles everywhere. We're so blessed in this country. We can go to almost any place and get a Bible. And if you don't want to go in and get a Bible just like this, you can go online and get a Bible free and download it and put it on your phone. I've got one on my phone. Matter of fact, I have two of them, two versions. I have one is called the Blue Letter Bible. It's a free app, and it's got the entire Bible in it. And then I've got another one that by Alexander Scorby, who reads the King James Version, and I like that one. As a matter of fact, I have that one on my iPad, and I have it on my phone. I'll listen to it sometimes while I'm driving. Like, for instance, sometimes I have to go down into the Bay Area. Very rarely, but sometimes I do. I'll usually take my pad and plug it in, and I'll listen to the Bible as I go. It's a good time to have it read to me. I like to listen to the Bible being read to me at nighttime just before I go to bed. That's usually the last thing that I do. I turn on Scorby's Bible, and I have it read to me for 10 or 20 or sometimes 30 minutes so that I'm listening to the Word of God as I'm preparing to go to sleep. That's the last thing that I hear is the Word of God. So there's no excuse, because faith is hearing God's Word. Reading God's Word. Faith is accepting what God's Word says. As a matter of fact, again, in Romans it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so it's hearing the Word of God. It's believing the Word of God. It's reading the Word of God. It's resting upon the Word of God. It's hiding His Word in our hearts. It's meditating upon the Word of God. Meditation is a practice that's not done a whole lot. Meditating is sitting there and thinking about what God said and how it applies to me. Okay? How many times do we meditate on God's Word? A lot of times if we read it at all, it's just a very quick, well, I've got my three chapters in for the day. I'll check that off on the side, you know, so I'm up to date on the, but how many times do we take it and we maybe read a passage of Scripture and then meditate on that passage of Scripture and what it's really saying and what it's saying to me and how can I apply the principle that's in the Word of God? How can I understand this? Because God wants us to do that. That's part of our faith, is trusting God's Word. Trusting God's Word. Hearing God's Word. Why do we meet together? Why do we have Sunday school, Bible study? Why do we have preaching? Why do we have evening services? Why do we have prayer meeting? It's so that we can get around, we can worship our God, but so that we can hear the Word of God. Because that's part of our faith. And when we're not in church, this is interesting. When we're not in church, sometimes we're missing out on what blessing God wanted to give us through the preaching and teaching of His Word. God gives the preacher the message, give the pastor the message to bring. He prepares it. Being led of the Lord, He prepares it because God knows what we need, and then we don't show up. So we miss out on what the Word of God had for us on that particular day. You ever think about that? I'm not, you know, you're here, so praise God. But when you're not here, you might be missing out on something that God had for you. I remember years ago, I had some folks come up and said, well, we're going to go to another church. And I says, whoa, well, how come? And they says, well, we're not getting fed. And my response to them was, well, you didn't show up for mealtimes. Of course you're not getting fed. You're not here. You're missing out. And so it's important that we hear it, that we read it, that we meditate on it, that we hide it in our hearts. Now, I know when I say hiding in the heart, it talks about memorization, but it's more than memorization. I don't know about some of you, and don't raise your hand, but are some of you, like me, it's getting harder and harder to memorize the Scriptures? Okay, I see some smiles on your face, like, yeah, it's getting harder and harder. Yeah, yeah. But the idea of hiding God's Word is more than just memorization. It's applying it to our hearts, applying the principle to our hearts, having it be a part of us. That's all part of faith. That's all part of faith. Trusting God. I think that's sometimes the hardest thing to do, is to trust God. God doesn't make mistakes. Okay? He doesn't make mistakes. We need to learn to really trust Him, especially in today's, what's going on today in this country. We need to trust God that He's still in control, and He is. He's still in control. And we can trust Him. We can trust what His Word says. Okay? What are some of the things? What can faith do? What can faith not do? Here are some interesting things. I know I keep using that phrase, but it is. It's interesting. Okay? Faith does not shield us from physical suffering. Okay? Faith does not shield us from physical suffering. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verses number 24 through 27 talks about that. Faith does not shield us from physical suffering. Have Christians down through the ages suffered physically? And the answer is yes. Yes. Does that mean because I'm having a difficult time and I'm suffering physically of an ailment or a disease? Does that mean my faith is not strong? No, it means I need to get stronger faith. I need to trust the Lord more and trust that God will be glorified in what's taken place. I think of that. I think of the Kumars. I think it's the Kumars over in the Fiji. Got a daughter that's extremely sick. She's been sick for quite some time. And they've had a hard time trying to figure out what the problem is. Very, very sick. She's had to come over to the United States to be treated several times. And very, very sick. But it's an amazing thing. Instead of blaming God and her faith getting weaker, her faith is getting stronger. And that's because she's learning to depend upon God more. The Apostle Paul had an ailment. We don't know exactly what it was. Some people may think it was his eyes, but we don't know. He describes it as a thorn in the flesh. But it was something that just kept, it was a physical problem that just kept getting him down on that. And he says that he prayed to the Lord to take it away from him, because that's what we normally do. Amen? I've got this problem, Lord, take it away. Three times he asked God to take this thorn of the flesh, this physical problem that he had. He says, take it away. And God's response to him was, my grace is sufficient for thee. And Paul took that by faith and trusted God and says, okay, I'll just live with it. I'll just trust God that, and I'm going to, in my weakness, he becomes strong and he gets glorified in my weakness. So, faith does not shield us from physical suffering. Faith does not shield from loss of earthly possessions. Well, I trust God, so that means I'm always going to have all my possessions. I'm never going to lose those. Is that true? No. Faith doesn't shield us from that. Sometimes Christians lose everything. I think of folks with these fires. There's some of them, you know, losing everything that they have. All their house and everything in it gets burned up. Some are Christians, and it just happens. It's a part of life. And yet, that should bring a person closer to the Lord, not away from the Lord. The faith should be strengthened when times come when everything is lost. Everything is lost. I think of the individual who was a businessman. It was back in the 1800s, as a businessman. And his name was Spafford, and he lost his business. The business went under, and they lost everything. They had just enough to take one last vacation, kind of, and he was sending his wife and his daughters, I believe he had four of them, and he was sending them back to England on a ship, and he was going to stay here and finish taking care of the financial needs and close the business down. He was losing it. And on the way, the ship sunk. And he got a telegram from his wife saying that she was saved, but the girls were lost. So here's a man that lost his business, lost his family. And he was on the ship going over to meet his wife. And while he was on that ship, when he got to the spot where the other one went down, he penned the song that we love to sing, "It Is Well With My Soul." Instead of saying, oh man, everything's gone, but he was a Christian, and he says, "It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet me, it's well with my soul." Just the sheer joy of knowing that our sins, not part, but all, was nailed to the cross of Christ. And he no longer has to bear them. He said, it is well with my soul. And the very knowledge that his Lord was going to come back someday, that the trump would sound and we would rise up and we'd meet the Lord in the air. He said, even so, come Lord Jesus, it is well with my soul. You see, that's faith. Possessions can be taken away. Everything can be taken away. But yet, trust in God. I think of Job, the story of Job. The Bible tells us that he was a wealthy man, an influential man. And he had seven sons and three daughters, and he had camels, and he had sheep, and he had all sorts of wealth. And God allowed Satan to touch his life. And in one day, he lost all of his wealth. He lost everything. And while they were coming and telling him about all the different things that he lost, they came in and said that he lost his sons and daughters. They were wiped out. Job had nothing left but his wife and his health. Job's response was, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." The only thing that he was left with was a wife that said, "Curse God and die." But he didn't. Then his health was taken away from him, to where he had boils from the top of his head down to the soles of his feet, and all he could do was just sit in the ashes and scrape the boils. But even in that, he gave God the glory. Then he had these friends that came and sat down to encourage him and didn't talk to him for 7 days. And when they did talk to him, they said, "Oh, Job, what horrible sin did you commit that all these calamities have taken you?" And yet Job still had faith in God, and it was strengthened. And when it came down to the end of all these testings, the Bible tells us that Job regained his health. He was given twice as much riches that he had before. And he was given seven sons and three more daughters. I kind of look at that and I say, well, that's a good blessing from God, but it's also kind of humorous because Job's wife, who mocked him for his faith in God, who said, "Curse God," and died, she had to raise another family. Okay? So what am I saying? Faith does not shield us from the loss of earthly possessions, no matter what it is. That should encourage us in this day and age. People all around us are getting sick with this COVID. Some have friends and relatives that have passed away as a result of it. The economy is getting tanked, and our government is going south, and you can't trust hardly anything that they say anymore. Okay? And we say, you know, what are we going to do? We're going to trust God. Because my faith isn't in this government. My faith is in Jesus Christ. I'm not looking down here for my substance. I'm looking to God, because He's the one that takes care of me. My God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. It's written. It's down. It's in the book. It's a promise from God, and He always keeps His promises. He will give me what I need. Can I hear an amen? Okay. Faith does not guarantee ease. Okay. We think, well, now I'm a Christian, I'm going to be at ease. No. No. Hebrews 11, as we go and we read these people, all these different things that they had, we get down to the last things. It says, well, let's see. Let's get down here. It says, verse number 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens, women received their dead raised to life, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection, and other had trials of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered into deserts and in the mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. All in the realm of faith, and the things that they went through. So it doesn't guarantee there'll be ease in life. But he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a promise. The Lord is always there. The Lord is always there. And faith does not shield us from grief. Okay, it does not shield us from grief. It doesn't say you'll never have grief in your life. Death is a real thing. We all have to face it. We cannot go through life without having death somewhere in our life. When I was just a teenage boy, I was not raised in a Christian home. My father was a drunk. My mother was not a Christian, but she was a good woman. I became saved, trying to serve the Lord. One Sunday, what we would do is, my father had been cited for drunk driving so many times that they would not issue him, they would not let him register an automobile in his name. As a matter of fact, they took his driver's license away from him. He still drove, okay? But he could not register an automobile in his name. And so we bought a car. Oh, and this was really a nice car. It was one of the nice ones. I thought it was nice because being a teenage boy, it was a 1956 Chevy. Okay? Four-door, canary yellow. But my father had to work with, you know, he had to work, and so he would use the car during the week. But when the weekend would come, it was mine because it was registered in my name. And usually my father was drunk most of the time. Sunday was usually the day that he would sober up and try to get everything together so that he could start work again. This particular Sunday, though, he actually had a job. And he had a job in a town called Santa Paula. It was about 20 miles east of Ventura, where we lived. And so he needed to get to work. The weekend, the car is mine, and so I needed to go to church. And so what happened is I got up real early with him, and we loaded his tools in the car, and I drove him to Santa Paula and dropped him off so that he could do his work. And then I drove home to get ready for church. And in the process of getting ready for church, we got a telephone call that my father was dead. He was a cement finisher. Pastor would identify with that. My father was a cement finisher. And he was setting up a form to just get ready to pour some concrete. And he bent over to hit the form and he just... And his heart gave way. And they said it was probably the result of years and years and years and years and years of drinking. It finally caught up with him. And That kind of put my mom in an emotional state. She didn't have the Lord to fall back on. I had to handle at age 17. I had to handle all of the funeral arrangements and everything for my father. And then we moved on. By the way, my father never did trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Finally went down to Bible college and went down to Pacific Coast Baptist Bible College. It's only 100 miles away from home. And I would go and I would visit my mother on at least one weekend a month. I would drive home to visit, spend the day with her. And I'd get up real early in the morning on Sunday morning and I'd drive back down from Ventura down to Garden Grove where we were going to church. That's where I met my beautiful bride. Been with me for 51 years now. And anyway, I had responsibilities in church, and so I would leave about 4 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning, and I would drive down. And this was on Memorial Day weekend. Memorial Day weekend. And what I would do is I'd sign out of the college, and we had to sign out where we were going, where we were going to be gone. And we would sign out, and then we'd be gone, and when we'd come back, we'd sign back in. And I did this on a regular basis, so when I would sign out, I would just say, going home, and then they would know that I wouldn't be back in until Sunday night, because I would go home and I would spend some time with my mother, and then at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'd get on the freeway and come back down to Garden Grove and do church things and go over to somebody's house in the afternoon. Usually, I'd go over to Cheryl's folks' house or someplace. We'd go to somebody's house and then have evening services. And then when that was over with, I'd pile in my car and anybody else that needed to come back to the campus, and we'd drive back to the campus. And this is what I did. And on this particular Sunday, when I pulled into the campus, the dean of men was meeting me, and he asked me a question. He says, "Did you go home this weekend?" And I says, "Well, yes, I went home this weekend. I got signed out." Well, I thought maybe somebody said that they saw me and said I didn't go home. But I said, "Yes, I went home." And he says, "Well, I've got some bad news for you. Your mother passed away." I go, "What?" And my friend at the time volunteered to turn right around. This was Sunday night, and it was probably around 8 o'clock. And we got back in my car, fueled it up, and came all the way back up to Ventura. My mother had passed away, and apparently she had passed away, and I didn't even know it because she was gone early in the morning when I left. She had already passed away of her heart. And so once again, I had to prepare for a funeral. Now, I've said all that just to let you know, as a Christian, I still had grief in my family. And that's not the last. There's still other griefs. I had brothers. And I found out that one of them died in a boating accident. The only thing that I was able to do was talk to them on the phone. And then a few months after that, he was in a boating accident and he died. Okay. I was able to meet my grandmothers on both sides. They passed on. I had to grieve. My father, I finally got a message a few years ago that my father, my earthly father, who was a Christian, died. I didn't even get a chance to go to his funeral. And then just not too, I think it was last year or year before last, I found out that my mother, the woman that gave me birth, passed away. My father-in-law passed away. My mother-in-law passed away. What am I saying? Death is something that we all have to face, but that shouldn't weaken our faith. That should strengthen our faith, recognizing that God's in control, and recognizing if they know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And he also said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And he was saying that at a funeral. So faith doesn't shield us from grief. It should make us stronger. What does faith do? And I'll try to end this up quickly. What does faith do? Well, faith saves us. Okay, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If we have salvation, you have it because of faith, not because of your goodness, not because of any charitable things that you've done, not by any of your outward righteousness that you may think that you have done. If you're saved here this morning, or if you're saved over the web, you're saved only by faith and faith alone. So, faith. A blind man can't see, but he can believe. Okay? A deaf person can't hear, but they can believe. A dying man can't stop from dying, but he can believe in Jesus. Young or old, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, all can trust Jesus Christ as Savior and have that saving faith. Jesus said, "I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Salvation is available for anyone that will call upon Him. Faith justifies. The word justified is meaning that we're get right with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It gives us forgiveness. It gives us cleansing. It gives us restoration. It gives us fellowship with God. Faith stabilizes. Okay? They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Psalm 125, verse number 1. It stabilizes your life. Sometimes I see people who are, you know, their life is such a mess. But if they would trust Jesus Christ and if they would trust the Word of God, they would trust God, it would stabilize them. And they would be like the Mount Zion. Okay? That cannot be reserved, but abides forever. We sing a song, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." And then we also sing a song about the solid rock. Upon the solid rock we stand. Faith stabilizes. Faith strengthens. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Philippians 4:13. You can do anything that God wants you to do because He gives you strength through faith. Faith sings in adversity. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, "Rejoice evermore." Think about the Apostle Paul and Silas when they were out preaching and they didn't like what they were preaching, so they were arrested and they were thrown in jail. They were put in shackles. They were in a prison. And at midnight, instead of saying, "Oh, poor old us, God's forsaken us. We've just been out preaching God's word. We've been thrown in jail." Instead of doing that, the Bible tells us that they were praying, that they were singing and rejoicing in the Lord. And as a result, everybody, God sent kind of an earthquake. All the jail cells were opened up. All the prisoners had been hearing what they were doing. They didn't leave. They stayed there. The jailer comes running in thinking that his prisoners are gone. He's going to take his own life because he figures they're going to get him anyway because his prisoners are gone. They said, "Don't hurt yourself. We're all here." And the jailer comes in and he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And he took those men to his house and his whole household got saved. And who knows how many of those prisoners got saved, because here was two men in adversity were there singing praises to the Lord. Singing praises to the Lord. Faith sends out. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth and maketh intercession for them." Hebrews 7:25. Faith spreads out. Faith is shared. Interesting little poem here. It says, "By faith and not by sight, Savior, I walk with thee. Lead thou my feet aright. Choose thou the path for me. Choose thou the path for me. I would not if I could, for only thou could see my highest heavenly good. My highest heavenly good lies in thy will alone, designed and understood by love upon his throne. By love upon his throne, my life is planned aright. Secure in Christ alone, I walk by faith, not by sight." Let's pray.